Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
You know, being filled with Him just starts many times with just speaking. Speaking what you know to be true. You might not be feeling it at the moment. You know, a lot of times there's things that come into our life and try to fill us up. Cares of life try to fill us up. Other things, the desire for other things tries to come in and fill us up. And so, you know, many times we're not really feeling it. Really not feeling the Lord, you know, in our soul. And it's not really real to us. But we know it to be true, don't we? We know He's alive. He is the living God. He's real. And then if we'll just begin to declare what we know to be true, if we'll just start to speak it, just begin to praise Him, just begin to thank Him, just begin to praise Him and thank Him, not even necessarily because you feel like it. You might feel like a griper. You might feel like a complainer. You know, you might feel yourself more in the flesh, and so you'd be more tempted to do those things. But you know what's right, and you know what's true. And out of that place of knowing, you just rise up and begin declaring. Just begin speaking. Just begin speaking the truth that He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. And as you begin to praise Him, as you begin to magnify Him, it don't take long, praise God. The Holy Spirit just jumps right in there with you. And next thing you know, His presence starts getting all over you, starts filling you up on the inside. And next thing you start feeling it. You start feeling it. Glory be to God. You start feeling the excitement that God is God. He is your God. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And then you know you got the victory, and you always triumph, and you always win. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And then you just start shouting because you feel like it. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. Amen. But sometimes, you know, you got to kickstart the thing. You know, you ever have to kickstart something. You know, I remember when I was young, we had that. We had a lawnmower. It had a cord. You know, you had to pull the cord to get the thing kickstarted. You know, you had to get the thing started, and you just keep, sometimes it'd be exhausting. Just keep pulling that cord. Keep pulling that cord. Sometimes you never knew if it was gonna start. But bless God, we have something that we know is gonna start every time. Amen. You make a connection with God, and He's gonna show up. Just as simple as that, because He said Himself, "If you draw near to Me, I'll draw near to you. If you'll draw near to Me." He will draw near to you. Amen. The engine's running. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now all you got to do is just give it gas. Oh. Hallelujah. And it's easy. Praise God. Just give it a little gas. Praise God. You want a little bit more? Just a little bit more gas. Praise God. Don't have to keep pulling the cord. We need to know how to stir ourselves up in the Lord. We need to know how to keep ourselves filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not something that's just being an occasional thing. It's something that we're going to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit and learn to live out our days completely filled with Him. Filled with Him. I mean, that's normal. Being filled with the Spirit, saturated with Him, that's normal Christianity. So we got to be normal. Too many Christians are abnormal. They're living below where they've been called to live. And this isn't something that we have to do. It's not like a works thing. It's something we get to do. Man, we get to draw near to God. We get to be filled with the living God. We get to be strengthened by the Spirit of God. We get to be filled with the faith of God that overcomes everything that the world has to throw at us. Anything the world has to throw at us, we can overcome it through faith. That's an awesome thing to tap into. To tap into that faith. And we need to be training ourselves to live life in the supernatural. Not just living a natural carnal life, but living a supernatural life. That's what we've been called to be. Filled with the Spirit, overflowing with God, living a supernatural life. That's Christianity today. That's Christianity, according to the Word of God. Filled with the Spirit of God, not filled with ourselves, wanting God to come and enhance us. He's not the enhancer, He's it. He's it. He is our life. He is our breath. He's what we're living for. He's what we're living by. Not by our might or power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Come on. Filled with Him. Overflowing with Him. Hallelujah. And number one comes through speaking. Again, praising Him, blessing Him, and speaking mystery. Speaking by the Spirit. Speaking in that heavenly language. Speaking in tongues. In an unknown tongue. Unknown to your head, but it's known to God. He understands what we're saying. And that's training us. As we do that, we're training ourselves to live life in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. And that's the place we need to be. I said, that's the place we need to be in these last days. That's the only way we're going to make it in these last days. We're talking about living in the last days. Man, we are the church of the last days. We've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's an amazing time. And there'll be some things, and there are some things already unfolding on the earth that really the world has never seen to the degree that you and I are seeing them and will see them in the days ahead. Great things, glorious things, as well as what looks like awful things, terrible things, evil, very evil and dark things. But you and I have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is our hour. We're not going to draw back from this time. This is our time to lift our heads up higher than ever before. Not to withdraw, but to step out. Step out like never before, and we will see our God in demonstration in our lives, through our lives, like never before. Again, it's when we're weak that we are really strong. When we're in situations that we cannot get out of, that we cannot deal with, just with natural remedies, that's when we're going to see the glory. That's when we're going to see God manifest, step in, and take charge. Demonstrate His ability in and through our life. Now, that's not just going to happen. Because God is good, God is love, and He's got a plan for your life. You know, I mean, that's where a lot of folks are at. They just think, well, God's good, God's loving, so everything's going to be all right. Well, no, not if you don't get up, rise up, step out on the water by faith and walk with Him, follow Him. You got to believe in the supernatural. You got to stir yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You have to do these things so that you're in position for this God of love. This God that's got a wonderful plan for your life to be able to come in and work in and through your life to bring to pass His will in your life. Because His will doesn't just happen. It happens because we purpose for it to happen. I said it happens because we purpose for it to happen. And we need a purpose to do it every day of our life. Every day. Not just every day, but every step of the day needs to be a step of faith. That's how you fulfill the plan of God for your life. It's step by step. Don't be anxious about your whole life. Just step by step. Let it be a step of faith. Respond to things according to the word. Deal with the trials of life by faith. Believing God. Walking by what you believe and not going by what you see. Keeping yourself stirred up. Stirred up. Looking beyond the seen realm. Looking into that unseen realm. That's being a spiritual person. And every day supplies us with plenty of opportunity to practice this life of faith. Every day. Don't miss out on a single trial or test. Practice your faith because God is getting you ready to be that last day army that the Word of God talks about. The prophet Joel talked about, prophesied about it, that it was coming. This army was coming, the likes of which have never been before. They're all in perfect rank and in order. And man, they're walking by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. That's you and I. We're here to take over. Somebody say, I'm here to take over. That's right. So this is our time to arise, to shine, to get up. Let that glory of God be seen on us. Again, Isaiah 60. Our text for this series. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Somebody say, this is my time. This is my hour. We should be able to recognize our time, recognize our hour. Jesus said it's like discerning the weather. Last time we talked about having a nice weather app on the inside of us. It's called the Holy Spirit. We've got radar on the inside of us. It tells us what's out in front, what's up and coming. We know the day and the hour that we're living in. And Jesus, when he walked the earth, he always knew when his time was and when his time wasn't. He knew when it was preparation time, and then he knew when it was time. It was time to walk out the plan of God for his life, to fulfill, to finish the work God had called him to do. He recognized when it was time to finish the work. There was many times, people were trying to get Jesus to do things. He said, my hour is not yet come. Right? My hour is not yet come. Man, that's nice. You know when it's your time, and you know when it's not your time. So you're not anxious about anything. It's not my time yet. My hour is not yet coming. Why aren't you seeing this yet? My hour hasn't yet come. Well, why hasn't more happened? And why this and why that? And I mean, you've been believing out for a long time. My hour has not yet come. It's coming. It just hasn't yet come. And if you understood, if you were being led by the Spirit of God, if you were listening to him on the inside, you would know your time. And a lot of us have just been in preparation time. I said a lot of us, even folks that have done a lot of good things, you're still in preparation time. Preparation time. Getting ready for the ultimate calling. For the ultimate task. For the ultimate time that God has preordained for you to walk in and be a great light for him. And we're sowing and we're investing in that time. Every day of our life, we're sowing and investing in that time. And the day will come where we'll know, we turn that corner and we'll say, we're here. This is it. Okay, here we go. My hour has come. This is my time. Know your time. Know your seasons. Know your time. Know your seasons. And like I said, right now you and I are practicing. We are working out our salvation. We are working out our salvation. We are building our faith up. And a lot of things the folks, a lot of Christians get excited about. I've been believing God for a raise and to make more money. And I got it. I got it. Whippy-doo. And I say it that way because a lot of times it's really just a very small thing in comparison to what obtaining that thing by faith is getting you ready for. You needed to use your faith on that. You needed to get that thing by faith. You needed to possess those things. You needed to resist that thing. You needed to overcome that thing. And it is a victory, and it's worth shouting about and celebrating over, but it's just a small part of getting you ready for this bigger thing that God has for you. Come on. Say, I've been created for big things, to be a part of something great. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That doesn't mean you're somebody that's going to stand up on CNN, the nightly news, and everybody's going to know your name. I saw somebody the other day, he pulled up in his car next to me, had his windows down, and his head was just going back and forth, and everyone's going to know your name. Yeah. You're something, you claim to fame. I don't know the song, but I thought, well, I don't need everybody to know my name as long as Jesus knows my name. Yeah. You know, it's actually had a very good rhythm to it. Can anybody sing it a little bit here for me? That's right. It's all right. We don't expose where you're at anyway, spiritually. But Anyway, you know, this old song was about, you know, everybody's going to know your name and you know, your claim to fame and all this kind of stuff. And I just, in the car next to me, I went, yuck. Yuck. I don't need everybody to know my name. I just need to be known by you, Jesus. I just need to be known by you, God. That's all I care about. I don't need a bunch of folks that are applauding me one day and saying, crucify me the next day. Bunch of up and down people. No. I'm not putting my stock. I'm not putting my hopes. I'm not putting my dreams in being popular among men. I want to be popular in heaven. I want God to know my name. Come on, somebody. I want to live a life that's pleasing to him, that's impressive to him. Can you impress God? Can we live lives that are impressive to God? Can you imagine impressing God? What can impress God? Like, you could do anything to impress God. You can. Because Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And when he walked the earth, there were some folks that impressed him. How about like that centurion that came to Jesus on behalf of his servant who was at the point of death? Jesus turned from him and looked at the crowd and said, I tell you, I have not seen such great faith, not even in all of Israel. I mean, Jesus was praising that man. And you see, you go through the Word of God. I mean, go through Hebrews chapter 11. Who inspired Hebrews chapter 11? The great hall of fame of faith. Who inspired that? God inspired it. And when you go verse after verse, he's talking about Moses, Abraham, Isaac. He's going down the line of all those that did things by faith. And what's he doing in that chapter? He's just praising them. He's praising them. He's commending them. How many want to receive praise and commendation from the Almighty God? Where God in heaven, Jesus in heaven, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as he was here is how he is there. And so if they impressed him when he walked the earth, we can impress him now that he's in heaven. And I'd love for Jesus to just turn around and look at Michael the archangel or whoever else is around him, you know. Maybe he just turned to the Father and say, did you see what he said? Did you see what he did? Talking about me. Now, that might be at the expense of being on earth and having everybody around you going, did you see what he did? Did you see what he did? Did you hear what he said? Maybe they're not liking you down here. But the very thing that's causing them not to like you down here is causing Jesus to go, yeah! Yes! That's him! He's mine! Right? So, you know, when I'm talking about doing something great, doing something awesome, I'm not talking about that being something that is really highly esteemed among men, necessarily. It might not even be recognized by this generation. But yet it affected this generation and it changed things in this world. God did it. God changed it through your faith, through your believing in him, through your trusting in him. So we don't judge ourselves based on or according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I'm telling you, you and I have been called to carry out great exploits, do great things for God. And we have all kinds of opportunities, and there's some bigger opportunities up ahead to impress God, to please God, to glorify God. Come on, the last days is going to bring some things into our world that we're going to be confronted with, that are going to provide big opportunities to show forth great faith in the Almighty God. And you might be led away like a lamb to the slaughter. You know, you might just kind of disappear quietly off the face of the earth in the natural, but in the Spirit. You have, through your faith, allowed God to bring great change into people's lives and to impact eternity. Right? impact eternity. When Jesus died on that cross, it looked like he was a failure, right? Looked like he was a lie. God really wasn't with him after all. Everything he had said wasn't true. And he just died quietly on the cross. Disappeared off the face of the earth. But he changed our lives. He has changed the world. He has changed things forever. And so you and I are in position. And we're getting in position. He's getting us ready. And you got to get psyched up. You got to get excited about these times. You know, I just feel the Holy Spirit like a cheerleader saying, you know, yes, yes, go. You can do it. You are the best. Right? Holy Spirit's like, you're it. Come on, shake yourself. Rise up, Church of the Living God. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep exercising yourselves to godliness. Keep being nourished in the Word of God. Every time you get up after being knocked down, bless God, it's a victory. Yeah. It shakes hell. Yeah. Because when you get up stronger. You get up better. You get up wiser. You learn from your mistakes. Amen. You don't get up ashamed. You get up and say, bless God, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he'll rise again. If God is for me, who can be against me? And we're getting up. Look, you're here. You're up. You got up. Some of you got smacked around this week, knocked down, kicked, had the rug pulled out from underneath you. But here you are. Hallelujah. Just singing, he's going to know my name. Hey, 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 hey. All of heaven's going to shout my praise. Hey, 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 hey. When I walk in on that day. Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get myself a little go, 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 man. I'm getting myself a little stirred up. Praise the Lord. God is good. Yes. And we're going all the way. Can you say amen? Yes. Say, I'm a faith human being. I'm a spiritual person. I'm not just natural. I'm not just carnal. I'm not just fleshy. I have a flesh. I deal with the flesh. Every day I deal with the flesh. But I'm spiritual. Amen. That's who we are. That's who we are. So just shake it off. Just wipe it off. The world's going to spit on you. And the devil's going to spew condemnation on you and garbage and all kinds of stuff that's trying to make you feel dirty and ungodly. Just shake it off. Just in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you just got to look and say, is that your best shot? All you can do is spit at me. That's all you can do is just spit. That's why sometimes when I get to preaching, I like to give it back to the devil sometimes, you know. Just know that if you ever see anything like that, if you see a manifestation or something like that, just know it's pastor's doing that to the devil. He's just letting the devil have it, you know. Two, right in the eye. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Or it could be because you didn't drink enough water. But anyhow, it's one of those. We'll go with the more spiritual one. Now I don't know where I want to turn. Praise the Lord. It's all good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let's do that. Let's go back here. So Isaiah 60 in verse 1, he says, arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Again, like we said, first you arise and shine, knowing that your light has come, and then what's going to happen? The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's when you're going to see the glory of God manifest on you. Verse 2, for behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. and His glory will be seen upon you. God's glory will be seen upon us in these last days, brighter than ever before, because it is getting darker than ever before. And again, like I said, things just don't just happen. They happen because we purpose for them to happen. God's will happens because we purpose for it to happen. We embrace it. We step out on His word. We go forward in faith, believing that it'll be just the way He said it. Just the way He said it. And we don't back down. We don't bow down intimidated and afraid. We're not going to hide. This isn't a time for Christians to go hiding in the closet. Let everything else come out of the closet. We're not going in the closet that they came out of. That's what's trying to happen. They're coming out of the closet. Every kind of vile thing's coming out of the closet. Lifting their heads up. And Christians are running into the closet, retreating, hiding. But not us. No, I'm not going to fall into that. No, I'm not going that way. No, we're going to stand up and say, no, you don't. Thus far, no further. I'm the light of the world. I'm God's standard in this world. And I'm going to shine. That's right. Devil knows he can't do anything unless he gets the standard to come down. He's got to get the church to lower their standards. Lower the standard of God's word. And as the church begins to lower the standard, ungodliness gets more and more bold. Gets more and more aggressive. So you and I need to get back in our place. Rise up and do what others perhaps before us haven't done a very good job of. This is our time to arise and shine. Notice this over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look at some scriptures that we looked at last time, but hit some different verses and see some different things today that we need. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll just start here again, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. In other words, he's saying, you don't have to worry. Christ did not come and you were not left behind. There'll never be a time where that will ever be said. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And we looked at that word there, falling away. Those two words in the Greek are the word apostasia. Apostasy, where we get the English word apostasy. And apostasy is a total desertion of or departure from one's religion or principles. So here he's talking about a departure from one's religion. Or we could say from one's faith. And I believe it's talking about the church departing from Christ. That there's going to be a mass exodus out of the church, away from Christ in these last days. Hearts are going to grow cold. People are going to turn away from Him. Many will defect. They will desert the church. They will desert their fellow brothers and sisters. They will desert their allegiance to Christ, to Christianity, especially in order to join the opposing forces. That's actually the definition of defection. To desert one's country, we could say church, cause, allegiance, especially in order to join the opposing forces. You know, we have an example. Let's hold your place here and go with me to Timothy. Timothy talks about people having departed from the Lord. Even back in the days of the early church, the church was just getting started. In 1 Timothy 5:15, he says, for some have already turned aside after Satan. Think about that. What's he talking about? In its context, he's talking about Christian women. Christian women that have become widows and have had a strong desire to be married and things. It says they've turned away and they've gone after Satan. You go back to verse 12, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. They've cast off their faith. They've already turned aside after Satan. It's a turning away from the Lord, a turning to Satan. You know, nobody ever loses their salvation. Well, can a person lose their salvation once they're saved? Well, no, they can't lose it, but they can leave it. They can leave it. And those scriptures are evidence of that right there. So that's why we got to guard the faith that's in us and watch about going after other things and neglecting the Lord, neglecting His word and our devotion to Him. We don't want to desert the Lord. We're not a bunch of deserters. We're a bunch of believers. And we're believers all the way to the end. I say we're believers all the way to the end. Amen. Now coming back here again to 2 Thessalonians. Here he says there's this falling away that's going to come first. It's really a turning away. It's a turning away. It's a deserting of the Lord that's going to take place. And as Christians desert the Lord, as they desert the Word of God, as they desert the truth and begin to embrace lies, what's going to happen? Ungodliness is going to be more revealed. There's things that are going to come out of the closet. There's things that are going to come out of the dark and be revealed to the world. Here it says, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Or the son of destruction. So again, first, there's the apostasy of the church. The standard is removed. The church is the standard of God in this world because we're the ones that are doers of the word. We're the ones holding up and enforcing the word of God, God's way of living, God's righteousness. We're the ones that enforce that in the world. So when there's this great falling away, or rather turning away from the Lord, when the standard is removed, what happens? The son of perdition is revealed. See, before the devil can be revealed, God's standard has to be removed. That's exciting. Because if we hold up the standard, there's only so far the devil can go. There's only so much of the devil that can be revealed in a person's life, in a nation, in a government. There's only so much that the devil can reveal. And he wants to reveal a lot of things, a lot of dirty things, a lot of evil things. He wants to reveal a lot of terrible things. But there's only so much he can do when the standard is here, revealing God. Revealing God's righteousness, revealing the word. Now again, that starts in our own personal lives, day to day, step by step. You lift up the standard. You be a standard. You reveal God's righteousness to this world. Don't laugh at those dirty jokes because you feel uncomfortable and you want to fit in. You don't want to stand out. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're the light of the world. You want to stand out. Say, I want to stand out. Yeah. We need to be revealed. If we're not being revealed, which is the revealing of God's righteousness, because that's what we've been made in Christ Jesus, then there's other things that are going to be revealed in our lives and in our world around us. So he says, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? You know, we get into the thick of it. We got to come back and remember these things that God's telling us and that he's told us in times past. We can't allow ourselves to forget the things that he has shown us when we get into the battles of life. When that darkness begins to rise up, we have to remember, put ourselves in remembrance of God's word. He says, do you not remember? Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. So there's a time. The devil knows that he has a time. This man of, or the son of perdition, son of the devil, this antichrist that is to come, there's a time when he will be revealed. But verse 6 says, you know what is restraining that he may be revealed. There's something restraining him from being revealed. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Hallelujah. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, and that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Notice, it's those who do not believe the truth that are going to get in trouble. It's those who did not receive the love of the truth. Well, we can say a love for the truth. They didn't stir themselves up to love the truth, to love the word of God. They're the ones that will perish in the darkness. Those who don't believe. Just because for a season they look like they're taking over the world. Just because it looks like darkness and devils and unbelievers that mock God, just because it looks like they're the ones in power, they're the ones in the driver's seat, it seems like they're taking all the positions of power in our nation and in our world. Just because it seems like they're the ones to be feared, they're the powerful ones, they only have a short season. They only have a short time. It's those who believe and continue to believe to the end. In the face of all the adversity. The ones that continue to shine with God. They're the ones that will walk and enjoy the victory in the end. So because we are believers and embracing the truth, we're not going to be taken over by all these strong delusions that are coming. People are being deluded. I mean, it's amazing. Some of the things that so many people believe these days in the world and things. And I've had people come to me and ask me, you know, they don't know the Lord. They think they do, but they don't. And they've walked up to me. I'm not talking about in here. I'm talking about out there in the world. And, you know, I've had them, what do you think about this? Do you think that's right? Or do you think what they're doing in government and so forth is wrong? I'm thinking, do we need to have this conversation? I mean, some of the questions that are even asked today are beneath our mentality. Just to even get, to even enter into the discussion makes a fool out of you. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you become like him. Just to even answer it, just to even talk about it, it's like, are you kidding me? But they're trying to negotiate, they're trying to figure out, well, I think it's okay, and I don't think it's okay, and I think everybody has a right. It's like delusional. People have lost their minds. Are you hearing me? People's minds are just being completely overcome by darkness. We're not entering into that. I said, we're not entering into that. Well, is your church taking a stand against this, that, and this? I said, well, we don't react to everything that's going on in the world. I just don't react to everything that I see on the news. I don't react to everything that's going on in government. I respond to the Spirit of God. I'm yielding to Him. I'm not reacting to foolishness. We're living way above that. Come on! Because we're feeding on the good news. We're watching the good news. We're looking at God's news. And it's very current and applicable for today. It is current events. It's God's news now. We ought to start a program. If somebody hasn't already. God's news now. Praise God. Set up a little news desk up here. God's news now. This is God's news now. Hallelujah. It's still relevant. I said it's still relevant for today. So notice that. There's something here restraining this lawless one. Verse 7 again. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And you know, lawlessness is a mystery. Lawlessness is a mystery. I mean, there's been stuff I look at. You see some of the lawless behavior of people and some of the evil thinking. And you think, how in the world? Where do you even think like that? How do you even think like that? That's a mystery to me. That's a mystery to me. Some of the ways people live and how people think is a real mystery. It's not a mystery I'm looking to crack. I don't need to know the answers to some of this stuff. It's like, okay, just it's the devil. Done. That's all I need to know about it. I don't need to explore the depths of the mysteries of lawlessness. It's the devil. And we win. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Again, until the standard is taken out of the way. If the devil can take out the church, if he can take out our Christian testimony, if he can take out our testimony. I love these Christians that run around and say, now the Antichrist cannot come into power. Why, the church is here. The church has to be removed from the earth in order for the Antichrist to be able to come. Have you ever heard that one before? I thought, well, that's interesting because we've got this perverse politician over here. We got this insane government official over here. We got this wicked leader here. We got these wicked judges here. Nobody seems to, the church being here hasn't seemed to stop them.
But we're going to stop the Antichrist. We're going to stop the Antichrist. The Antichrist cannot come into power as long as we're here.
You can't even stop wicked judges. You can't even save the Supreme Court. But you're going to stop the Antichrist. No, us not being here in the flesh isn't what's going to give the devil place in the world. Because he's getting plenty of place right now while we're here. And the reason why he's getting place is because the standard's being taken away. Because the standard's being taken away. Because the church's influence is being removed. Why? Because the church is not standing up. The church is being walked over right now. The church is not being a light of the world. The church is trying to be culturally correct rather than being consecrated to Christ. We got a culturally correct church. They're more interested in being culturally correct. If you want to grow your church and you want to keep people in your church, then you've got to do this cultural thing. Just saw something this past week. This 5 steps to keeping people in your church. I'm not trying to keep them. That's the first motive problem right there, you know, for them. I'm not trying to keep anybody. Because if I'm trying to keep you, then I've got to please you. But going back to the beginning of this message, I'm not here to please you, I'm here to please Him. Yeah, and He will keep you. He who neither slumbers nor sleeps will keep you. So we got to do all these cult. We got to be culturally cool. In other words, we've got to be worldly. You got to be more worldly. Gee, it's funny, the Bible tells me just the opposite. It tells me that I should be completely different from the world. I should be shedding all that worldliness. and becoming more full of godliness. We should be looking more like heaven than looking like this hip-hop culture of this world. Can you say amen? No, consecration. Consecrated to him. Christians are losing their consecration, their dedication to the Lord, to standing up and being a light and being different. But that's what really wins those who are really wanting to be one for God. That those that really want to come to Christ. Those that really have a heart for righteousness. The Bible refers to them as the elect. It's the light. It's the truth. It's the salt. Come on. And that's what you're called to be. As that influence, as our influence is taken out of the way, the enemy is being revealed. As we said, as prayer has been taken out of the schools. They're trying to take God off our currency and our nation. They're trying to remove him in every area of our life right now. You can't carry a Bible. You can't say the name of Jesus. All these things are happening in our nation, in our society, in our world today. As that happens, more and more lawlessness will be revealed. The enemy will be revealed. The son of perdition, the Antichrist, will come more and more into power. How many people want to hear more about the Antichrist? Yeah, we do. We want to know a little bit more about him. The Bible has a lot to say about him. You have to come next week to find out who he is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand on our feet this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.